Now, the Success Journal. Here's Chris Whitting.
Welcome to Success Journal podcast number 21. Coming up on this episode, over 80% of people have a home office, yet half of those people admit their office is a mess. We have quick tips to make your home office a winner. Then, the dramatic, inspiring rags-to-riches story of Sebastian K. Young, successful entrepreneur. You'll hear his remarkable story.
I definitely had a tragic childhood. My mother was murdered when I was 2 years old. When I lived in Dallas, Texas with my mother at the time. She came up missing. I was left in the apartment for 2 days. You know, my life could have ended then.
Plus, we'll hear stories of inspiring female entrepreneurs who live life on their own terms.
My advice is not to fear failure, to learn to embrace it. Failure just means that you're one step closer to being where you want to be.
And a man turns a neighborhood bingo game into a multi-million dollar empire. Success Journal starts right now. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/successjournal. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The Success Journal Podcast. Informative advice from leading experts. Helpful, practical tips to enhance your career, your income, and your personal freedom. The Success Journal Podcast with Chris Whitting.
Hello and welcome. If you've listened to any of our previous episodes, you probably noticed just then that we changed the opening. That's the legendary voice of Charlie Van Dyke, and Charlie introduces the radio version of Success Journal, so we thought we'd use his services for our podcast introduction as well. Hope you liked it. Well, first up today, you probably have some sort of a home office. Statistics show over 80% of people do have a home office. However, half those people say their home office is a mess. So here's some tips to make your home office a little more functional. First, think of your work area like the cockpit of a plane. Make sure the most important things are all within arm's reach. Move the things that are less important away from your work area. So, for example, if you have a fax machine, but you almost never get faxes, move it to the other side of the room. And lastly, too much paper. That is the number one enemy of a home office. The less you print out, the less you have to deal with. And statistics show most of the paper we have, we will never look at again. So follow these three tips, and you will be much more efficient. And that's courtesy of Terry Lanier, author of Working Solo. So if that's how you turn a messy home office into a place where you get things done, now all the podcasters out there need is tips on how to clean up their home studio, and that's a whole other challenge. Well, our first guest today has a riveting rags-to-riches story to share with us. But first, how about a 60-second Success Journal story about a lab worker who invents an explosive and profits start to boom? Al's dad was rich. He was a brilliant engineer who designed bridges. And he could afford to give his son, young Al, a good education. And he wanted Al to build bridges, too. But Alfred preferred lab work, which is where he happened to meet the inventor of nitroglycerin. That explosive is very strong, but highly unstable. Just one bump can set it off. Al found it fascinating. He decided to try harnessing the explosive, and he found that by mixing nitro with silica, this stuff was safer to handle. I'm sure you know his creation. Dynamite. It not only helped in construction, but it was soon used in warfare too. Seeing that, Al set aside funds to create a World Peace Prize, the Nobel Prize, named for the inventor of dynamite, Alfred Nobel. Our guest is Sebastian Young, a successful entrepreneur and author of the book, I Had Every Excuse to Fail, But I Chose None. Mr. Young, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, sir.
Your life is a genuine American success story, but it didn't start out that way. You had a tragic childhood. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I did. I definitely had a tragic childhood. My mother was murdered when I was 2 years old. When I lived in Dallas, Texas with my mother. At the time, she came up missing. I was left in the apartment for 2 days before anyone discovered that she was missing. You know, my life could have ended then. But going through life as an adolescent, not knowing who my father was, you know, my grandparents raising me, I grew up in a neighborhood where a lot of children had their mother and father with them in their life. And me, myself, I didn't have either one, and it was a tough situation for me.
Now, your mother's murder haunted you for a long time, but was the crime eventually solved?
Never was solved. 2005, I received a phone call that year from a detective out of Dallas stating the guy who killed my mother was never convicted. And this actually threw my life in a spiral. The guy who actually murdered my mother, you know, was in prison for something else, and they were trying to keep him there. And they know he did the murder, but they didn't have enough evidence to convict him because they lost a lot of evidence due to a man-made flood.
Talk about the importance of forgiveness, because I think that's one of the things you chose to learn from all this.
Yes, I consider forgiveness the key to my success for me to move forward in life. Forgiveness wasn't about the other person. It was about me forgiving him so I can move forward and become a better person overall. But, you know, it wasn't an easy task to forgive. You know, it's definitely a process. I had to deal with a lot of issues to come to the point where I forgave, but God poured it in my heart. You know, it's like a choice I had to make, you know, and I was like, well, I was dealing with it and I was holding on to so much, and I had to choose the right thing to do, and that was forgive the man for murdering my mother so I can move forward in life.
We talked about forgiveness. A lot of people in your circumstances would have turned out much differently in life, I think. Where did you get the determination to rise above your circumstances?
Well, I reflected back to a lot of conversations that my grandfather had with me. He instilled into me the unyielding way of life to move forward in spite of your situation. No matter what you're going through, there was nothing that can stop you from moving forward but yourself. And my grandfather used to always tell me to get myself out my own way. And that was something he would say to me quite often. And it's very, very important for all of us. You know, a lot of times we put our personal problems in a way of our future, and therefore something's in the way of us moving forward, so we have to go around it. I looked at it like a kid playing at a park, and you're holding on a pole, and as you're holding on to that pole, you're just spinning around in a circle, and you're not moving forward, you're not progressing, you're in that one area, but you have to let go and move forward in life.
One of the things you write about is the importance of education, and you say that really every day is a new learning opportunity. But you have to be willing to go after that education and not just wait around for it, don't you?
Yes, definitely. You can't sit back and think things are going to fall in your lap. You have to move forward, and it's like the pain through the process to get to the promise. So it's a process that you have to go through, and it's like iron sharpens iron. You know, in order to move forward in life, you have to dig in and move forward. You can't think that something's going to come your way. You always have to put the first foot forward. You know, I look at life as being that you're looking in the sky and standing there, a storm come over you in rain, and you're still in that one spot. You're not moving forward, so therefore you're in a storm instead of moving through a storm. If you're moving through a storm, there's a light on the other side, so only way you can get there is moving forward. And it takes a lot of faith to do it. You know, you have to have faith, you have to have belief in yourself, because I was listening to Martin Luther King's speech. He said you can't have identification with nullification, meaning that you can't say, I believe it, but I don't believe it for myself. You have to believe in yourself and then walk in it, and that's what faith is. Faith is actually an action, and to get to your greatness, it's an action. Greatness is an action. You have to take an action in anything you want. In order to get to greatness, you have to start moving in it.
I want to back up just a little bit here. We talked about all of the challenges in your early life. How did you make the move to become an entrepreneur and to be your own boss? Tell us the story of how you made that transition from the early challenges to the success.
You know, I knew I wanted to be successful. As a child, my grandfather used to have us work on cars. And one day I was out working on a car with my grandfather and my cousin. My cousin opened up the radiator and the hot water splashed on his face. And I watched his skin fall off his face like loose leaf paper. And they rushed him off to the hospital, and I vowed at from that day on that I would never work on another car, and I didn't want to be a blue-collar worker. I wanted to work in an office and use my mind. My grandfather said, okay, if that's what you want to do. He made me wear suits to school, made me shine my shoes every day. He told me I need to dress the part to be the part, and I think today they call it fake it till you make it. But he told me you'll grow into what you want to be because you're going to start believing it. And so I start pushing on forward at it, and I just start moving forward, and doors just start opening. You know, even when I didn't think they were opening up for me, you know, it was always something coming my way, falling right in my lap, but I had to keep moving forward to get it.
Talk about the importance of respect and why that's such an important component of success.
No matter if you understand or learning the business, if you're a very respectful person, people will be more willing to help you. Growing up, parents taught us to be respectful by opening doors, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, no matter what the age. In today's society, if you're my peer, I'm not supposed to say yes, sir, to you, but I am, because that's a sign of respect. Because if there's something I'm lacking and I'm respectful and I ask for help, at the point of you knowing that I was respectful enough when you met me, then it was easy for a person to help you advance in what you're doing. Respect is given. It's never earned. And when time respect is earned, there's going to be animosity built up, and you more than likely won't get the results that you're looking for.
As an African American, do you have any thoughts you'd like to share on the obstacle of race relations in America and maybe how that affected your story?
Well, definitely. There was a white couple that lived across the street from me when I was a child. Late one night, I looked out the window and noticed the house was on fire. And despite, you know, the way I was treated by them when we were children, you know, I tried to go over there and save the lady's life. I kicked the door in and I tried to pull up, get her to come out the house. She wouldn't. She went back in the back to try to get her son. And I was trying to tell her not to go, not to go. And right when it happened, a board fell down from the house being on fire. And I watched the lady burn right in front of me. No matter what it was that she did to me or said to me as a child, the part of me that would have thought about that was nowhere to be found. The part that thought about the negative things that happened was nowhere to be found. And I think that's where in America we have to get to the point of humility and understanding that in spite of what we go through in life, you know, we're going to all have to deal with certain issues, and we're not going to be proud of those moments. But the proud moments come when we decide to do something to help someone no matter what. And that's when we see our success.
Sebastian Young, successful entrepreneur and author of the book, I Had Every Excuse to Fail, But I Chose None. Sebastian, where can people find you online?
Yes, I'm on Facebook at Sebastian K. Young. My website is skybash.com. That's SKYBASH.com.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much.
Still ahead on today's podcast, inspiring stories of female entrepreneurs who make a difference. And then, the story of a man who turned a neighborhood bingo game into a multi-million dollar empire. For you, the listeners of Success Journal, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. And there's a great book I want to recommend, and I've been mentioning it, but if you haven't checked it out, it's well worth doing. It could be called Life-Changing, but it's been around for decades. And when I tell you it was written by Dale Carnegie, you may assume I'm talking about How to Win Friends and Influence People. That's a good book, but that's not the one I'm talking about. A much more powerful one is How to Stop Worrying and Start Living by Dale Carnegie. It's old school, but it is full of brilliant, time-tested advice that will hit you right between the ears. This audiobook is unabridged, and it's narrated by the late, great Andrew McMillan. What an incredible voice that man has. You can get this audiobook, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, absolutely free, or any other book you want. Just go to audibletrial.com/Success Journal. That's audibletrial.com/Success Journal. We often read about famous entrepreneurs like Steve Jobs, but rarely do we hear about the thousands of just regular folks who are entrepreneurs trying to do their best and live life on their own terms. Well, joining us on the show today is Robin Bairstock, who's the author of Adventures of women entrepreneurs, stories that inspire. Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, your story is part of this, and I'm wondering if we could start off with just hearing a little bit about your background and how you got to where you are.
Well, I've always had the entrepreneurial spirit, and while working full-time jobs, I would be starting businesses on the side, but nothing became full-time until I saw the potential in copper mugs. I had my first drink out of a copper mug and thought so many more restaurants and bars and households could have them. This was about 5.5 years ago before they became a trend. And so I started importing them from India, and they were selling really well and quickly became a really big trend for people to drink Moscow Mules. I don't know if you've had a Moscow Mule in a copper mug before, but it enhances the flavors and makes drinking the cocktail a lot more fun. So I built that business and expanded the product line to 100 other copper products. We have whiskey stills and trays and mint julep cups and shot glasses and all sorts of fun housewares and barware products. And while I was growing the business, it was very exciting to see sales grow and grow. But in the end, the sales and the money coming in wasn't what excited me. It was when people told me that my story inspired them. So I knew that the next thing I wanted to do was something related to inspiring people.
So you wrote the book.
Yes, exactly.
That's a great story. Another one of the great stories you have is a woman named Jenny Dorsey, who, I love this. She says, my mother wanted a sweet, submissive, soft-spoken, family-oriented daughter. My father wanted an ambitious, smart, successful, financially stable career woman. I guess that's common to have conflicting expectations upon you, especially for female entrepreneurs. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of pressure and a lot that we all have to balance in life.
I recently interviewed a woman who started a business at her kitchen table, and it became a multi-million dollar business. And she said, people told me at the beginning I was crazy. Is that a common reaction that people get when they're starting out?
I think so, it is. But I don't think she's crazy at all. I think it's great that she's following her passion and living the life she wants to live.
Well, tell us another story from your book, because they're all great ones, and it's hard to choose one here, so I'll let you do that.
Okay, yeah. Erica Lasserre, she is a chef in New Orleans. After working in the corporate world for a while, she decided to pursue her passion of cooking and opened a gourmet hot dog restaurant. And after about a year in business, things were going okay, but she wasn't able to pay all the bills and ended up having to close her shop down. But instead of giving up and going back to working for somebody else, she decided to get a relative to co-sign on a loan for a food truck. And with her food truck business and much lower overhead costs, she used what she learned from the restaurant and has built a really successful food truck business and also has a permanent stall at one of the famous markets in New Orleans. So it's a really great example of continuing to do what you want to do and not give up.
Yeah, I love that one. She goes by the nickname Chef Diva.
Yes, and it's Diva Dog is the name of her business.
Diva Dog, that's great. How important in these stories did you find is marketing and branding of a product?
Yeah, marketing is everything. It's definitely very important. People underestimate the importance of it. And this day and age, we get so many marketing messages coming at us that it's really important to figure out who your target market is and be pretty specific about who you market to.
And just even doing this interview today is part of marketing that you're doing for your book. So
yes,
it's funny how that all works. In your book, you have one story about, they're all about women, but you have one story about a man. How did that come about?
Well, at first I thought of it a little bit as a joke. There's often a token woman on a board or in some situation, and I thought it would be funny to have a token man. But I was at a TEDx event, TEDx Santa Barbara, and heard his story and just thought it was really compelling and that really anybody can relate to it. So he seemed like a really great fit for the book.
Aaron Janklow, I'm hopefully pronouncing that right, and this chapter is titled The Importance of Authenticity. Could you talk about that one?
Yeah, she was in a graduate program and had a little bit of a conflict with one of her group members who tried to tell her the way that she should act as a woman, and she didn't agree with him and continued to strongly speak her opinions and has built a really great business through that program. She provides hardware for hospitality workers to learn English while they're working. So while they're cleaning hotel rooms, they can be practicing their English by wearing a headset. It's a really revolutionary idea. I think she's going to do great.
She says she worked at TripAdvisor and also has an MBA. So, you know, you can be an entrepreneur, I guess, with great education and corporate background, but also just come out of high school and be successful, right?
Yeah, she has a great education, but not everybody in the book has been that lucky. People come from all different types of backgrounds and adversity, and they've all overcome challenges in their own way.
How did you find all of these people? Was it through networking or attending events? How did you find them?
Yeah, some of it was networking and some was attending events like TEDx events. And then I built a Facebook page that was about the book and saying how I was looking for people to submit their stories, and built a small website with the questions that I was asking. I did some Facebook marketing to get that Facebook page visible to people who are interested in entrepreneurship. And I got some submissions that way too. And then interviewed the different people who applied to choose the stories that we thought were most compelling.
We're talking with Robin Bairstock, author of Adventures of Women Entrepreneurs, Stories That Inspire. And the contributors, I guess, also wrote their stories and you compile them into the book. I guess that's how you did it, right?
Yes, that's correct.
In terms of this book, it would seem like you could almost do a series of these books. I mean, there's so many stories out there, and I think people find stories like this inspiring.
Yeah, that's the point. That's what we're hoping for. I would love to do a series. I thought about doing an international edition, and we could do editions based on specific industries or specific types of challenges. So that's hopefully coming in the future.
Stephanie Winans, am I pronouncing that right?
I believe that's right. Yes.
The Unsexy Entrepreneur.
Yeah. Her husband was in the military, and she was often moving from place to place, which made it really hard to hold a job. So she did what she could with the passion and skills that she had, and helped build this really great resource for parents and expecting parents.
For those who are listening, women who are listening and thinking, well, these stories are great, I would like to have that happen to me. What kind of advice would you have for somebody who is thinking of it or maybe struggling at the beginning?
My advice is not to fear failure, to learn to embrace it. So many people don't get started because they're worried about the possible negative outcomes. But every successful entrepreneur and inventor has experienced failure often many times. And really, failure just means that you're one step closer to being where you want to be.
I'm just wondering what your favorite story is in the book.
Carrie Hammer, she started a clothing business for professional women that's called Carrie Hammer. She has been really revolutionary in the fashion industry because she was not okay with using 15-year-old models to wear her clothing on the runway. So many clothing businesses use these really young models, and that's not what her business stands for. So she started a campaign called Role Models, Not Runway Models. And during the fashion show, she'll actually talk about the women wearing her clothes and who they are and what they mean and what they're passionate about and what they're doing with their lives and how they're leaving a positive impact behind. So just, it's not all about looking beautiful like it has been in the beauty industry in the past.
I guess it is a very good strategy to maybe tie into a social activism point that you know people out there feel strongly about, but nobody's really dealing with it. Is that a good strategy for growth and maybe marketing?
Yeah, definitely. Doing things different, doing it the way you think it should be done, I think is a really great strategy. Don't be afraid of what you don't know, because doing it differently is a great way.
Do any famous entrepreneurs come to mind who had stories of bucking the system or their parents?
Yes, one comes to mind, Sarah Blakely. She's the founder of Spanx and the youngest female American billionaire. And I heard her speak once about how every day at dinner, her father would ask her, "What did you fail at today?" And I think that's a really great lesson and something that many more of us can be doing, opening the conversation about failure and accepting it and embracing it.
You know, it's so funny to hear that a parent talked about failure because it's like the opposite of what most parents would want to talk about.
Right.
Yet she turned out far more financially successful than any other woman entrepreneur. That's very impressive.
Yes. And another thing is that I encourage people to not be concerned about making money. I think it's just as important to have your personal freedom and be doing what you're passionate about, and the money will come second.
Yeah, there was a book years ago, Do What You Love, The Money Will Follow. I remember that was the title, which seems to be true. How about social media, Twitter, Facebook, all of the different platforms out there? How helpful can that be for entrepreneurs?
Yeah, it can definitely be very helpful. A great way to build conversation around your business and your product, and that will bring you very loyal customers. And you can tell your story, and you can also get very specific with your marketing and using ads. You can target very easily with social media advertising.
Well, as we wrap this up, Robin, I'm just wondering if you have any last words of advice for our listeners who maybe think, oh, this entrepreneur thing, I'm hearing a lot about it. Maybe I should try it.
I said it earlier, but embrace failure. Learn to talk about it. Instead of asking how your day was, you could ask about what have you failed at recently.
That's a real good way to look at it. Well, the book is Adventures of Women Entrepreneurs, Stories That Inspire. And you have a website, which is awebook.com. People can check that out and, of course, get the book. Robin Bearstock is the author. Robin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's been great to be here. I appreciate you having me.
Time now for our 60-second Success Journal story about a man who turned a neighborhood bingo game into a multi-million dollar empire. Bill's family had hit hard times. The young man had to quit college and help his dad, who made a meager living selling hot dogs. Then Bill's dad found another way to earn money, running a neighborhood bingo game. Young Bill saw the potential of the fascinating game and kept bugging his dad to make it better for the customers. Fed up, his dad told Bill he'd sell him the bingo parlor outright for just a few $100. Now the 20-something entrepreneur had his own bingo business, and he worked hard to get customers. Eventually, he bought a club to host the games, and then he expanded his operation to the shores of Lake Tahoe. You may say Bill took a chance on business and won big. Today, the company young Bill founded still holds a winning hand. Bill's last name? Hara. Hara's Casino Hotels, now part of Caesars Entertainment Corporation, has become a giant. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to this episode, and if you did, please take a moment out of your busy day to review us on our iTunes page. That would be fabulous, and we would be oh so grateful to you. We've made it easy to find our iTunes page. Just visit successjournalreview.com. That's successjournalreview.com. Thanks for listening. Till next time, this is Chris Whitting for Success Journal, and I wish you a very successful day.